You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, Steeler Nation, you have tuned into the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football. My name is Matt. That is Mark. What's happening, dude?
Hey, man. I'm feeling better after Sunday night, but more importantly, I just hope the crickets are gone from the last show. We had special guests, the crickets, outside your door.
The Black and Gold crickets are hopefully not making an appearance tonight. I don't hear them right now. The window is shut. But they may make an appearance later. I'm not really sure because I seem to have one on my wall lately that I can't get rid of, and I don't know why. So if we have some more Steeler nature cricket friends around here, you'll know why, but we'll try and eliminate them if we can.
That's good. I mean, we want to be, you know, friends of nature here on the show, but at the same time, you know, we don't want an overabundance of chirping.
No, we don't. So we will try and eliminate them, but I can't promise anything 100%, but we will do our best. So, yeah, definitely it was a good win. The Steelers dismantled the Carolina Panthers on their home turf, which was good on the road. Mm-hmm. They definitely had a nice rebound performance after that debacle against Baltimore.
Yeah, I got no problem being honest, Matt. I did not see this coming. I thought, you know, based on the two quarters against Cleveland, the four quarters against Baltimore, and then you look at what Carolina had done to Detroit, which had a very high-powered offense the week before, limiting them to 7 points. I was thinking, okay, we'll be lucky to get 10 or 13. You know, maybe the defense shows up, but we probably still lose 20 to 13, something like that. So this was a welcome sight. It's one of those things where you got contributions from offense, defense, and special teams with the big play there. You really want this to snowball now, especially considering the next three, maybe four games, depending on what Houston does for the next 3 weeks. But it's one game at a time right now, and I think Mike Tomlin would probably tell us that as well.
Yeah, I think so, definitely right now, especially considering the injury situation, which we'll get to shortly here. Yeah. You know, you have to take it one game at a time. It was a nice rebound performance. I will admit, I'm the same with you. I did not see this type of play coming at all. I was hoping they would win. I was expecting them based on the way that we hope our Steeler, you know, team would be in the past, or, you know, from past experience, to come back and rebound and get a win. But to get a win on the road in that fashion, being able to run the ball, you know, with two 100-yard rushers and, you know, just the performance overall, considering the hostile environment and the injuries, I think they had a nice rebound. This is a favorable part of the schedule coming up, which is key. The Steelers, you know, in theory could be 5-1, you know, over the next 3 weeks, but we're not going to jump ahead because we know what happens when we start assuming things are going to happen. So, yeah, let's talk about the injuries here right now and the signing of one of our favorite players today as well. The injury bug, of course, hit three starters. Ike Taylor with a broken arm, right? Broken arm?
Yeah, you know, broken forearm. And I don't know about you, Matt. I mean, I could see it happen. I knew immediately that arm was broken. Not that I'm a doctor, but you could just clearly see the hit Timmons put on. He had the receiver wrapped up in just the way he rolled over. You knew it was broken or something was very, very wrong. The good news with this, you know, there are a lot of people speculating, oh, this is his career, he's done. They're talking, you know, maybe 6 weeks and he could be back. Obviously with some kind of brace and probably some surgery there too. But 6 weeks isn't too bad considering how ugly this break was.
Well, I agree. And, you know, as soon as it happened, you know, the speculation was rampant that, you know, this was his last game in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know, I mean, in theory, it still could be. It definitely could be his last season. But you're right. I mean, I think they're going to, you know, assuming that this heals correctly and, you know, the prognosis is still positive in the coming weeks, you know, that he's able to come back. You know, if the Steelers are in the playoff chase, he could be, you know, a depth player. But this is going to give, you know, the Steelers a chance to see what they got depth-wise. Obviously, Will Gay is going to start. now at cornerback, and then Blake is going to fill in at nickelback. So they're going to do some shuffling around, but I'm interested to see how they really respond to this. Ike, obviously, he can't catch an interception to save his life. We know that.
Yeah.
But the guy's still a solid cover guy for the most part, so they will miss that from him. But Will Gaze played well in the nickelback role, so I'm interested to see how he can step up in the starting role. As far as the linebackers go, they lost two of them, which was just devastating considering how important the linebackers are to this team. Jarvis Jones needs to have wrist surgery now, correct?
Yeah, and he might have even had that surgery today and was put – he's put on the injured reserve designated to return list. This is that thing that's been around for about 2-3 years max now that really is a smart move by the league to allow this, because there are so many guys that do get hurt in the beginning of the year and can come back, with a few games left, and in the past you couldn't. You were either on IR or you had to stay on the roster, and so this is nice for Jones. They're talking 8 weeks, which I think off the top of my head puts him back around the New Orleans game. And, the shame with him, Matt, is that he played a pretty darn good game Sunday night. He had a sack. He had a forced fumble. I mean, you feel for the kid. He's really trying hard. But it is what it is. He's out of the lineup.
Yeah, and this is going to be a situation where let's just cover the other injury quick before we get into how they're dealing with it. The other injury, of course, now being to the rookie Shazier, who was having a good year so far. Obviously, the guy's definitely a keeper. He's really picking up on the defense, but his injury now causes the Steelers to really bring up depth. On the defense, and of course Spence will start now. He will get the nod, and honestly at this point I don't know that there's gonna be that much of a drop off between Spence and Shazier, at least in the middle. Both of them are pretty inexperienced. And as we remember a few years ago when Spence was drafted, he was a pretty highly touted linebacker. So I'm interested to see how he can respond and how this defense does, especially in the middle now.
Yeah, it's interesting because, really, if Spence doesn't get hurt the way he did in that preseason game his rookie year, there's a chance we don't ever draft Brian Shazier, because that's why he was picked up. We need to have that speed guy at the one linebacker position, and so now, ironically, here comes Sean Spence. He's going to jump in there, and there is some talk that Vince Williams is going to see some time too. So we don't want to completely toss him out of the fray here just yet either. But good news is with Shazier, they're talking an MCL sprain. They think it could be just a week, and maybe he could be back in time for the following week. So who knows? Maybe in some ways it'll be good for the young man to kind of watch and see what's going on out there. I can't tell you how many times players talk about that, how they play, and then all of a sudden they have to sit and watch, and they just see the game so differently. But obviously we'd rather have them playing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the main question now is not so much the drop-off between, Shazier and Spence, or, the pass rush in general, but it's now. And, if they lose any other linebackers, then we're going to be in some serious trouble. So to combat that, they brought back, one of the, Steeler Nation's favorite linebackers of the modern era, of course, James Harrison, back now, signed his contract today. He's going to play this weekend coming up. That they've already stated they're going to ease him back in. It's going to be based on his conditioning and what kind of shape he's in and how much he can go. So, I suspect him to share a lot of time, but he'll see some reps, and it'll be nice to see number 92 back out there. But what's your take on bringing him back? How effective can he be in this role now for the Steelers, considering he's been, out of football for a while? Obviously, he's still in great shape. I mean, it's James Harrison, for God's sake. But, is he in football shape?
Well, no, he's not going to be. And like you said, he will be in shape. We don't have to worry about that. I think what they're looking for is some similar things to what, they got with Brett Kiesel coming back. You're going to get a guy who has veteran leadership, a guy who is going to to show and demonstrate with his actions, a little bit with his words. But, you know, I think what they're ultimately looking for him, he won't start. Arthur Motes is going to get the start. I think from James, what you want is a guy who will shut down the run to his side. And anything you get out of him in terms of pass pressure is a bonus, because, you know, even in his last year or two in Pittsburgh, he was starting to fall off in that area. And I think last year in Cincinnati, he might have had two sacks. But, you know, so that's what he's going to bring. He's 36 years old. He's had, you know, injury problems in the past. You know, so I don't think we shouldn't expect too much. We should just expect James to be James and hopefully allow the other guys just to play their game.
Yeah, you're right. And I think, you know, there won't be a much issue, at least in my opinion right now, with him in the run-stopping role, because he'll be able to set the edge and force the runner to go where they want him to go. So I'm pretty confident he can handle that when he's on the field. But you're right, the pass rush, being able to drop in coverage, he's obviously not as quick as he used to be. We all know that. You just, you know, you aren't at 36, and that's fine. But if he can fulfill a role, you know, a depth role at this point, and just, you know, help this team get through this injury, you know, part of their year, then that's all that matters. Obviously, he knows the defense, so there's no learning curve there anymore. So, you know, hopefully that, you know, this part of the injury part of the season for the Steelers is, you know, kind of, you know, it hit him now, and let's just kind of move on, because we really can't afford too much more, at least on the front seven. But yeah, let's get back to the game a little bit now. So the Steelers, tell me what you thought about the running game. Did you see this kind of running performance coming against the defense like Carolina's, even with Hardy out of the game?
Well, no. I mean, I you know, especially when they announced that Ramon Foster wasn't going to be playing. You know, I like Cody Wallace. I thought he did a very respectable job at center last year after Velasco went down on Thanksgiving. But I didn't expect much, because, you know, you get the star Lutulele there, who's a stud. The other guy whose name always escapes me for whatever reason. I mean, they're still a formidable team, plus good linebackers. So I didn't expect that. I thought if we were going to beat them, we would have to beat them with the short passing game and then maybe take some shots deep. But, you know, even if you take out the fourth quarter, because I really believe Carolina basically cashed it in. I think once they took Cam Newton out, I think that defense had kind of already given up. And so, therefore, a lot of those yards by Blunt, maybe you can say, you know, he wasn't going up against much. However, go back and just look at the way that the Steelers line blocked some of those runs, not just for Blunt, but for Bell early on. I mean, the 81-yard run was just, I mean, a thing of beauty. You couldn't have drawn it up any better. I mean, they had the seal blocks. Everything was just perfect. You know, and then one of the big plays of the game, the Steelers were pinned down in their own territory, and they had just gotten a penalty. And they give the ball to Blunt on a play where it looks like he's going to go left, and he all of a sudden cuts it back on a very designed cutback. And, I mean, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. DeCastro had a beautiful seal block, and Gilbert had his guy kicked out. And, I mean, it was just amazing to see, and I love it, Matt. I mean, anytime you get the running game going like that, it's fantastic, and then it just makes Ben even better than he is, because now the play action's there. So I hope it continues. I think we would be amiss to think it's going to be to the tune of 260 yards on the ground every week. But, man, what a performance.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I think that's what this team needed. You know, you don't want to call anything a must-win this early in the season. I mean, it's not like Pittsburgh was, you know, winless and, you know, at this point. But I think that this was a big confidence booster, I think especially for the offensive line. You know, guys like Marcus Gilbert and, of course, DeCastro. I think DeCastro gets the game ball, in my opinion. I mean, you can say Bell or Blunt or Brown or, you know, Ben or whoever you want, but DeCastro, I mean, this dude is just a beast. And, you know, I think one thing that's interesting is, you know, how he came to the rescue of his teammate. You know, I think that says a lot about where this team is trying to go, what they mean to each other, how they rally around each other in times of, you know, maybe desperation, for lack of a better term, or not even necessarily desperation, but just in a game situation where, you know, when the defense takes your guy and, you know, knocks him down, pushes him down, tries to run out the clock, you know, just kind of play, you know, something you really shouldn't be doing. to keep, the clock running, for DeCastro to get up and kind of stand up for his teammate. I think that really said a lot and really kind of lit a fire under this team.
I thought long and hard about that, and I wrote the article today about, DeCastro's unnecessary roughness penalty. I think all of us in the Steeler Nation were like, David, what are you doing when he did that? But you know what? They still got the field goal. They went in 9-3. And I really believe that that was a huge turn of events for this team. I don't know that we've seen that type of behavior from a guy in recently where they come to each other's defense like that. I mean, he came in and just, plowed Keekly, and again, it wasn't the biggest hit in the world, and of course Keekly gave a good acting job, but I think it was just a great sign, and I think everybody picked up on it, and I think it was a motivating factor for going into the second half, and man, I mean, he is just coming on like gangbusters in terms of his blocking, both in pass protection and in the running game, and we will return to the show in just a few minutes, Matt. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
All right, and we are back here on the show talking Steelers football, specifically the offensive line. And you're right, I think, I don't know whether it was necessarily adjustments at halftime too, which I'm sure that played a part of it, but, just the fire that seemed to be under this team, that kind of attitude of, like a light bulb went on, which is something we haven't seen in a long time. I totally agree with you. It was nice to see this team rally around that. Tomlin's never going to, preach about going out and getting personal fouls and that type of thing. But
right,
it was nice to see the team just kind of stand up for itself, and just realize that, hey, we're in a hostile environment. We're winning not by much. We let opportunities slip by. And now let's go out and punch them in the mouth and win this game. And that's exactly what they did. So it was really nice to see. I love that. And I hope that's kind of like a catalyst for the rest of the season. I'm not going to stake my life on that just yet.
Right.
But, hey, it's a good start. So what did you think of Ben's performance here? I would say specifically between the first half and the second half.
Well, look, the Haley debate will never end. I don't care how long he's here. I don't care if we don't make the playoffs, he gets fired, or if he's here for the next 10 years. It's frustrating to see the constant dink and dunk, and I know it. It frustrates me too. I wish they would take some more shots downfield, but I think the way things developed in this game, the dink and dunk and the success they were having with Bell early on made a huge difference, and Ben was able to open it up a little bit more and throw the ball downfield a little bit more. Not to the point where a lot of us would like to see, where he's throwing 15, 20 yards downfield again. But I think it allowed that, and if you get this running game, which means play action, and you do spring some of these screens now and then, it is going to open things up. I thought he was much better than he was a week before in Baltimore. I really do believe, and he's admitted it, he got absolutely obliterated early in that game, and he said he felt it throughout, and I think it was noticeable throughout that he was hurting because his throws were off. He just wasn't himself, and he was right back to being the Ben that we know and love on Sunday night.
Yeah, you're right. And I think one thing about this team that we know of, in the Todd Haley area where we've got all these weapons and you've got Antonio Brown and Ben can throw the ball and we can pass it and no huddle and all that, it is so important for this team to keep running the football. That's going to keep Ben upright, keep the sacks down, keep the clock moving. You know, if you can run out of the no huddle as much as pass, it just opens up your entire playbook. It keeps you from being one dimensional. And this team, you know, they brought Blunt in for a reason. They drafted Bell for a reason. Yeah. This team needs to keep this kind of rushing performance. Now, obviously, you're not going to have, you know, 200-yard rushes every week, but, you know, you need to be able to be effective. And, I mean, is there anybody in the league right now that's better at this cut black running and has the vision that Bell has for such a young player? I mean, honestly, I mean, I would put that vision up against anybody in the league right now.
Well, you know what, Matt? The huge difference, in my opinion, is that weight loss. And his feet, he's got such a step. But then he's got this little jump stop that a man of his size really shouldn't have. I'm not going to compare it to Barry Sanders or LaDainian Tomlinson because those were two very different backs from what he is, but that's kind of what it reminds me of. It's just a guy in a lot bigger body. He just seems to make people miss, and with this offensive line, you know, up until this week, that's what he's had to do. He's had to make people miss because guys were getting penetration or getting through, and he just looks very, very good right now, and I think, I could be wrong, I thought I heard LaDainian Tomlinson call Bell the best back in football right now, which is some pretty darn high praise coming from that guy. So he's doing some great things, and I mean, what a compliment Blunt is. He's just an absolute pounder when he comes in, and you know, so it's just great to see. And again, you'd love to see it week in and week out, but yeah, we got to be realistic about it too.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I think the important thing for the Steelers, like I said, is to just keep running. And I think they have a great 1-2 punch. And as long as they can just, you know, keep the clock running, keep the drives going, keep Ben upright, you know, I like the direction, the way this offense is going. I'm okay with the dink and dunk to a degree. I would like to see a few more shots downfield, but you know, at this point, anything to keep Ben healthy, you know, now that he's starting, you know, to come into the, you know, the second half of his career, so to speak, I guess the longer we can keep him upright, the better, especially you know, just given the way that you know, this defense is starting to is gonna, you know, be going through some tough times now. So the more they can keep the ball, the more they can help out the defense and give them extra rest, that's all going to really help out this team. So let's talk a little bit about the game coming up here. Do the Steelers really change the game plan this much, you know, based on the team that they're playing? Or are they still just going to come out and try and run it? I mean, you know, at this point, they're playing Tampa Bay, right? So,
yeah, you know, and two things on that. First, I think Haley will still look to do a lot of the dink and dunk early. Even with the success of the running game, I don't think he's just going to, you know, turn it around and hand it off 3 yards cloud of dust. I think they're going to continue to use the speed both with Brown and Wheaton, you know, and then slip the ball to Heath as needed, and then work the running game in as well. I think they're looking for balance, and that's what they had. You know, now as far as Tampa Bay's concerned, this is just freaking weird when you think about it. Last year, the Steelers heading into Week 4 were 0-3. And we know they went to London, they got beat by Minnesota. Here's Tampa Bay coming in 0-3. They had a lot of high expectations. They just got absolutely demolished by Atlanta, giving up 56 points. They're going to have a new quarterback starting. Their offensive coordinator took a leave of absence today. We don't know how long he's gone. This has the perfect recipe for just a Steelers blowout win. But we know, Matt, we know that the Steelers love to play down to the competition. So don't be surprised if this is a close ball game.
That's what scares me to death about this game. Is you're exactly right. Everything points to a team like Pittsburgh, you know, being able to run all over them, be able to do pretty much whatever they want. And, you know, it speaks to a blowout. But as we've seen this year already, you know, when teams are supposed to blow out other teams, they're not doing it.
Nope.
And I have absolutely no confidence in this team to go in and actually play to their ability against opponent rather than playing down, because they just don't do it. They always find ways to keep inferior opponents in the game. And you're right, right now Tampa Bay has a lot of things going wrong for them. You know, the new head coach and the offensive yep. coordinator thing and the bad record. You know, all that tells me that, you know, the Steelers, you know, they could come in with that us against the world, you know, we've got to win this mm-hmm. game mentality. And, you know, they could come in and just, you know, completely stick one to the Steelers. But, you know, I'm hoping And I would love to see this team take the next step and actually go into a game where you're supposed to beat a team and put a beat down on them and end this game early. That's what I would love to see. But like you said, I'm not counting on it because they always play down to the opponents. And that's been going on since the Cowher era, at least.
No, it has. It really has. I can't even think of the number of games that Cowher coached. And granted, those were different times and different eras in terms of offense and defense. But, yeah, it's a trend that needs to stop. And I know Mike Tomlin has to be harping on it because he's talked about it before in press conferences too. So, you know, I'm with you. I'd love to see this team come out, you know, take a nice 24 to 3 lead at halftime and kind of coast in the second half. But, we just can't expect that the way they've been according to their recent rap sheet.
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect time for the Steelers to really get on a roll. They've got some winnable games coming up. You know, if you're going to start out the season on a positive note and get as many wins in as you can against teams that you should beat, quote unquote, now is the time to do it. I mean, there's no reason the Steelers can't win their next three games, and in theory should win their next three games. Obviously, Cleveland coming up is no gimme, but, you know, teams like Tampa Bay, who are winless right now, these are teams that you have to go out and stick it to them, put your foot on their throat, and end this one early. So that's what I'm looking forward to, but like as we said, I'm definitely not counting on it. So let's give me your take right now a little bit before we start to wind this down on Lance Moore. You know, he said today, was it today or yesterday, that he was not expecting to only have pretty much one rep, you know, in this game. He was expecting to be looked at a lot more. Tomlin said he's going to ease him back into the game and basically make him earn his job, so to speak. What's your thoughts on that as far as, you know, should, I mean, do you think they should just put him back in there because he is the veteran guy and let him assume the role again, or should he really try and get this job back, you know, and earn it, so to speak?
Well, the whole thing is a bit fishy. You know, here's a guy you go and sign to be your number three, maybe your number two receiver if Marcus Wheaton doesn't work out. And he's a clear replacement for Jericho Cotchery, who the Steelers depended so much on last year. Justin Brown's a nice receiver. He's bigger than Lance Moore, don't get me wrong, but I found it shocking that he played one snap, and now Tomlin is talking about he's got to earn his playing time and all this, and that's not something you normally hear a coach say about a veteran guy like this. So you wonder if maybe he is in the doghouse or something. I don't know why. I've never heard of him being in a coach's doghouse before. I thought he got along pretty well with Sean Payton down in New Orleans from everything I've read and seen. So it's kind of odd. I mean, I know they talk about Brown. He's a better blocker, a better run blocker, and yeah, I get that. But I just think Moore can be so explosive in this offense, and it's just strange to me. I don't know. I don't want to make anything more out of it than there is, but it sure seems like there's something there right now.
Yeah, I agree, and the whole situation is weird to me too. I was expecting Moore to come in, assuming he was healthy, and at least get more than one rep. Obviously, yeah. You know, maybe he still splits time with the other receivers, and I'm okay with that. But this guy, you brought him in for a reason, to replace Cotchery, yeah, to be some insurance in case Wheaton doesn't work out or Brown starts to stink up the joint or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
But I would really like to see them get this guy some more reps because he's a veteran guy. You know, he can make that tough third down catch. He knows, you know, the ins and outs of the NFL. He's been around. So the whole situation is odd to me. It almost seems like he's in Tomlin's doghouse to me, too, even though I have not heard a thing about that at all, at least not that I can recall right now. And then maybe it is just a matter of Tomlin thinks enough of Brown and Wheaton that they really want to get the young guys as many reps as they can. I don't know. I mean, you know, that could be it. But, I think before we wrap it up this week, give me your prediction on the game, what you're looking for out of the Steelers realistically, real quick.
Well, you know, I think they'll struggle a little bit. That's just what they do, as we talked about. I still think you're going to see, I'm going to go 27-14 with a win over Tampa Bay. Again, nothing surprises me in this league anymore, absolutely nothing. I mean, the Raiders nearly beat New England in New England, for crying out loud. So, you know, anything's possible. I think the Steelers will find a way to win this game by double digits, but it won't be easy. And it would just be great to get this team on a little bit of a roll. Like you said, you had Jacksonville the following week, then Cleveland, and then Houston on a Monday night. And it would be just very, very nice to get on a nice little roll right now.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's what I'm looking for. I do think the Steelers are going to win this game. I'm not expecting it to be a blowout. You know, I think if they can get on track early and get the crowd in, you know, on their side a little bit, I think that'll help keep them motivated here. The thing that scares me is if they do get a bit of a lead going into the second half and then they kind of take their foot off the throttle like you know they always do, that's what scares me is, you know, they can let this team, you know, hang around. You know, maybe they're up by a touchdown, maybe two touchdowns, 10 points, something like that. And then they come out in the second half and just go to sleep, and then we end up with another close game that we shouldn't be having, just like we had against Cleveland. So that scares me, but, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they win by maybe 10, 14 points, give or take. That's kind of my prediction as well. But I think with that, we will wrap it up this week. We will definitely look forward to hopefully talking about a win on the next show. And everyone, definitely check out our sponsor, Body Tech Gym. We are super excited to have them on board. They are great people. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, go out there and work off all those beer and wings, right, man?
Absolutely. Pizza, beer, wings, you name it. Whatever it is we're eating for tailgates these days, it's a great place. Get in there. It's in North Hills. And tell them we sent you because it's a great relationship. We love working with them. And, if we were both there, we'd both be in there. And they'd be working us out because Lord knows we need it.
Yeah, we do. I think if you and I walked in there right now, I think they would probably just laugh at us.
Seriously? Yeah, they put us in one of those, remember those old school steam boxes where the only thing showing of you is your head as they sweat all the pounds off? That's what they'd be doing to me, at least. I know that.
Oh, I know, right? And they'd be telling me to put down the beer and wings. Absolutely. Yeah, like, well, put the beer down. You can't jaw with a beer in your hand. I'd be like, yes, I can. All right, man, let's wrap it up. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. We definitely appreciate the listeners. Send us questions on the website. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook. We are super excited, you know, for everybody that's talking with us on the website with the comments and on the Facebook. And, you know, we'll be starting a Google Plus page here within the next week or so. So check us out on there definitely as well and give us your input. But again, thanks everyone for listening. We will check you out next time on the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech Gym.
Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the contact us option on the right side of the homepage. steelcityblitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.